Thank you because there shall be no error in teaching, no error in reception, and light in its full hope shall dawn on our minds. And everyone shall receive wisdom according to the teaching of your word, and wisdom to walk in the Spirit. Thank you, our Father, because each one has the heart of the pen of a ready writer. And we walk in the light of your word as doers of your word, not just hearers only. Thank you, Father, because we behold Christ as he sees us in him, and we walk in the benefits thereof. Amen. All right. First, 2 Peter chapter 1, we have been looking at the wisdom in the wisdom of God. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter 7, verse 1, and an apostle of Jesus Christ to them which have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Now run to verse 10. I want to highlight an important fact here. It says, wherefore. Now you use wherefore because you have laid a premise, a foundation. So it says, wherefore, that is because of this. Verse 10 says, the rather, brethren, that is much more, alright, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall not fall. Now, the word there, diligence, is the same word, spoudazo, that Paul used when he spoke to Timothy and said in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, that is, be diligent, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Then in chapter 4, verse 13, it says, be diligent to come during winter. Or is it before winter? So, it says, be diligent. That means, like we have been looking at this verse, spiritual growth requires diligence. Oftentimes, I tell people that when your spiritual life begins to have an haphazard testimony, there's something you used to do that you stopped doing. And there's something you didn't used to do, you started doing. So, spiritual development requires diligence. Diligence to make effort. You will not grow because you are born again. You will not grow because you love the Lord. You will grow spiritually because you are diligent. Diligence requires effort or means effort. You have to put effort. For example, you came to this service, that is an effort for spiritual growth. If you leave the service and then you go further to maybe get materials to listen to, that is an effort. You pick up your Bible, that's an effort. You ask questions, that's an effort. So, there must be effort on your part. It says to make your calling and election sure. Now, don't forget, the statement is a wherefore or therefore. It says sure. The word sure is an old Greek word. Bebaihos. I'll spell it for you. Bebaihos. It means that which is sure. Actually, some versions will say to make your calling and election guaranteed. Why did he say that? Romans 4:16. Look at where that word was used. Where God made his promise sure. That is steadfast. Look at where that word Bebaihos was used. Romans 4:16. Romans 4:16. Therefore it's of faith that it might be by grace. To the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. To the end. That is to the fulfillment that it might be sure, guaranteed. It might be steadfast. Or better still, it might be reliable. Bebaihos is used for that which is reliable or that which is consistent and steadfast. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. The hope Our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, you shall also be of the consolation. So again, steadfast, consistent, reliable. Hebrews 2:2, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, that every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. That is, it was so sure that if you disobeyed the law, there was a recompense of reward. Hebrews 3:6. Hebrews 3:6. Again, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Firm. Hebrews 3:6. Hebrews 3:14. If we are partakers of Christ, we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. He's just repeating himself. Hebrews 6:19. Hebrews 6:19. The hope we have as an anchor of the soul both sure and steadfast, which enters into within the veil. Hebrews 9:17. For a testament of force after men are dead, otherwise it's of no strength at all. Steadfast, no strength. So he's saying to us that you make it, okay, 2 Peter 1:19, a more sure word of prophecy, more reliable, more steadfast. So he says, be diligent to make your calling an election, or better still, your calling is the word kaleo, you know that, an election. Election is the word eklogi, E-K-L-O-G-E, means to be taken out of, taken from, or picked out, eklogi. So, you are picked out of darkness into his marvelous light, alright? So he says that's a calling he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light to show forth the praises of him who has called us. So he says now to make that calling, alright, sure, not your salvation now. He says you must be diligent to make it reliable, steadfast, consistent. He said you must be diligent. Now look at the word to make, and that's a key word in that place. The key word. The word make, let's even take it gradually. 2 Peter 1:10. I want to take it gradually. It says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fail. Alright? Give diligence. He repeats a word twice. Be diligent or make diligent. Will be the word P-O-I-E-O. Poio. 572 times in New Testament Greek. Is used for acting. Or you can say practice. Diligence. To make. No? To practice your calling and election. How? Sure. That is, when you are diligent, your practice will be consistent. Do you understand that? Is that clear? Because he repeats it. When you see in a sentence, a word comes out two times, that word is a vital word in interpretation. Be diligent. Practice diligence to make or to practice your calling and election in a reliable way. That is, when you practice, alright, it becomes sure and steadfast. Just like saying, do the word. We can put it like this. Don't forget, it says, let's back up a bit. If you do these things, right? Remember these things, remember? These things in context will be the things that were given to us, right? The things that were given to us, verse 5 to 7, tells us what the things are. It mentions diligence, virtue, knowledge, charity. Are you following me? Brotherly kindness. He says you should practice these things. to make a practice of them, to make your calling and election sure. Right? So we say, what is the calling? The calling is election. He has chosen you, alright, to show forth his praises. That's not salvation. So he's saying, when you are diligent, you make that calling how reliable, consistent, steadfast. Not your salvation. So, say if you, these things, what things? He mentioned them from verse 5. Diligence, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. So you make your calling and election sure. You know, we said the last time that these things are the things we practice amongst men. You make it sure. So these things, what are we talking about? The things we just highlighted. Verse 8 now gives us a, like I said, you look at what he's saying within the context of what he's talking about. Verse 8. If these things, notice the things. Verse 3. He has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Verse 3. Verse 8. And if these things be in you and abound, what things now? The things we just highlighted. If they be in you and abound. The word be is the word hupako. H-U-P-A-R-C-H-O. H-U-P-A-R-C-H-O. It means to possess. 60 times it's used. It's something that comes from you. If you have these things. That's what he's saying. You abound. You are fruitful. Okay? And you abound. Pleonazo in the Greek, P-L-E-O-N-A-Z-O. It means to increase in influence. When you see that word used, pleonazo, is not to increase literally, as it were, maybe to multiply. No. Then when I say increase, if I say, there's an increase in duplex houses in my estate. That would mean there are more than one duplex houses. But that's not what he's saying. He's not asking you to increase these things. Okay? So the word hupako is where we should look, where was it used? You see it in Romans 5:20. As touching sin. Sin increased in influence. Law entered and grace might abound. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Romans 5:20, two times. To abound. Influence. Because he used the word sin in singular. Do you understand? You understand that? Romans 6:1. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Again, singular. 2 Corinthians 4:15. 2 Corinthians 4:15. And the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 8:15. He that gathered much hath nothing, and he that gathered little hath no lack. No, 2 Corinthians 8:5. That was a mistake, I think. No, it's the same thing, same scripture. Philippians 4, verse 17. I desire fruit that may abound to your account. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love. See? Singular, in love. One toward another, toward all, even as you do towards, as we do towards you. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly, and your charity of one another towards each other abounds. Abounds. In 2 Thessalonians, I've quoted that, 1 Thessalonians 3:12. So he's talking about an increase in influence. So go back to 2 Peter 1:10. So, if these things abound, definitely, these things have been given to us. So they are ours already. So they are abounding in influence. Do you understand that? Is that clear? In influence. What God has given to you now begins to add influence through you and in you. Abound in influence, not to increase in number. He says, if these things be in you and abound, you shall, they make you that you shall neither be barren. That word barren is used for idleness. Agos in the Greek, A-R-G-O-S, to be idle, lazy, unprofitable, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of righteousness. No, the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, he's saying that if these things are not abounding, it's because you are not increasing in the practice of the word. That's what he's saying. Because you know, our emphasis has been on epignosis, remember that. Because that's what Peter has been talking about. Epignosis. They abound, increase in influence. So that means that these things should increase in influence in our lives. It's not just that in one way you walk in love on Sundays. And on Mondays when you're in the office, you walk in other things. He says it must increase in influence in epignosis. Let's look at something quickly. Because obviously, what Peter is dealing with here is spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. Spiritual growth can be measured. What did I say? You can measure it. It's not something we cannot measure. We can measure spiritual growth. You can know if you are growing. You can know if somebody else is growing. And people can know if you are growing. Dr. Hagin used to say that spiritual health is discernible. We can say, you're not looking fine. Not by the kind of clothes you wear. In fact, if you are looking too glue, if you glow too much, you know you are not growing. You understand that? So basically, now look at where Peter used the word knowledge. Remember, we made a distinction last week between epignosis and gnosis. I hope you can remember. All right. Chapter 3 again, verse 18. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at the word. It says, grow in grace. Now, why would you use grace? Grace will be what? Grace is not unmerited favor. Grace is a gift or gifts. So, if it says, grow in grace, grow in what you have been given. Is that very clear? Now, what have we been given? All things that pertain to what? Life and godliness. And it begins to tell us, add diligence, virtue, patience, brotherly kindness, temperance, remember that, charity, knowledge. So you will grow in, that is grace. Those are the things that were given to you. It says grow in grace. And in the knowledge. Now it doesn't use epignosis now, it used gnosis. Because your growth in those things are experiential. Remember that. Remember that? Experiential realities. They come from epignosis, but it is actual, usable, practical, experiential insight. Grow in what has been given to you, which is in the knowledge, gnosis, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So in other words, what Peter is teaching here is spiritual growth. Spiritual growth, said earlier, can be measured. Spiritual growth can be measured. This is it. This is not it. Are you there? All the apostles emphasized spiritual growth. All the apostles emphasized it. Paul was the strongest of all, obviously, but all the apostles. That's what Reverend Mark Hankins includes spiritual growth as one of the Pauline system of truth. Because spiritual growth is only found in the epistles. You won't find it in the book of Acts. You will find it discussed in the sense of giving account of, but was not discussed. It was not explained until the epistles. Now watch this. James's book, and that is the challenge people have with James's book, and a lot of grace people always have a battle with James. I used to years back. In fact, I tagged James an Old Testament book in the New Testament. I called him names until I got born again. You know, the challenge people have with James's book is that James focused almost 80% on spiritual growth, and people don't like it. Because when you start talking about spiritual growth, because the elements of the finished work of redemption will be in the back seat. It will be present. Because when James opened his letter, for example, he says, of his own will begat us with the word of truth. I mean, you should be satisfied with that. That we should be a kind of the first fruit of his creatures. James 1:18. In fact, he calls us, when we look into the word of God, he says, we look into our natural face. That should be sufficient for you. But it doesn't proceed further. It takes time. Faith without works is dead. Who is the wise man among you? So he deals with spiritual growth. I declare that when Paul himself was in spiritual growth, you almost think you are an unbeliever. Because spiritual growth now has to do with effort. There's an effort. Yes, it's the working of the Spirit of God within a man, but there's an effort that you put in. It's that effort that they point out in their teaching. So James focused a whole lot on that. And a good number of people who like to talk a lot about grace, finished works. You know, they get to this point, they begin to have a problem with him. If I recall that Martin Luther expressly said that the book of James is an Old Testament book. It can be permitted to make that kind of a slip. Because at the point when he began to come in contact with revelation knowledge, he was fighting against the Catholic Church. So it's acceptable that if he sees anything that looks like works like this, he will just stab it. But thank God for him. So the book of James really focused on that. Notice James 1:22. It says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Paralogizomai, which means to act beside who you are. If any be hearer of the word, is likened unto a man that beholds a natural face in the mirror, straight away goeth his way, and forgets the manner of man he was. Whoso looks into the law of perfect liberty, and continues therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, that same man is blessed in his deed. That summarizes James's letter. Because obviously, he's saying that when a man does not do the word, he will act outside the word. So when James begins to write to such men, you will have a problem with him. He will address that action outside the word. He will call you friendship with the world. Because you are no longer looking into the mirror. You understand? So you have to appreciate his letter to see that he was talking about those who don't do the word, but are hearers only. In James 2, for example, it focuses on those folks who know about agape, agapos, Philadelphia, philanthropos. They can quote everything. But when somebody has a problem, they say, bless you, it is well. So he says, such a man is deluding himself. For faith, James 2, without works, he says he's dead. If it has no works, James 2:17, it is dead. He says somebody is in need. And you say, well, I'm born of the Spirit. Let us see the Spirit. It's not good enough to confess, I'm born of the Spirit. I know what to do, and I'm not doing anything. I know how to do, I'm not doing anything. So those are areas people don't like about James. A brother was telling me, he said, is that grace? How can he say that faith without work is there? That is this man justified? And I asked him, do you have a problem with giving? Why are you fighting this? Are you fighting giving? He said, no, but it's not a works. It's not a works. I said, there's works. So. There's works. You are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus, even worked unto good works. With God, that you should walk in them. Not that they are walking in you, that you should walk. Effort. Peripatao, because you need the Greek word. You walk in it. That's why it's not good to make a truth the truth. Never make a truth the truth. Hallelujah. Never make a truth the truth. So, he begins to address those things. And he now taught an area of Abraham that people say, look, when Abraham gave Isaac, it was a walk of faith. That there are works, there are fruits to faith. He's not saying you are not born again. No, he knows you are born again. He has told you of his own will begat yours. He knows you are born. But he's saying that there's a paralogizomai going on here. That you are acting beside yourself. He was even kind. Paul says, are you not carnal? And walk as mere men. Paul talked to widows who are young and have so much passion. He says, they are dead while living. That's a strong word. I mean, if you take you a moment of respite in material, it's an oxymoron. Said, awake from the dead. That doesn't mean he's talking to a Christian. Paul. Because that's the use of figure of speech where you are addressing attitude different from nature. Are you following that? That's the essence of those writings. So when you are talking spiritual growth, sometimes you can be very brutal. Very brutal. Paul said, my little woman, I travail at back till Christ be formed in you. Almost like they are not born again. You get it? So you can be, it's because you are addressing the conduct. You know when he was talking to that brother in 1 Corinthians 5, he said, cast away the wicked man. Wicked. Wicked man. Take him away. Take out the leaven. He called him leaven. Leaven is sin. What Christ died for. Say, take it out. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:14. You saw that in church. First service. Was it second service? As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Verse 15. But as he which has called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Again? In your conversation. So he's addressing spiritual growth. 1 John 3. Read through chapter 3. Through chapter 3. If your heart condemn you, in verse 24, he that keeps his commandments dwells in him and he in him, and thereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Why? He says, look, whoever hates his brother 15 is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. He's talking to you, a believer. He knows you have eternal life. He said, this is a writing that you may know you have. And he's saying that, no, you know, I write it because you know you have eternal life. That's he that hates his brother has the eternal life abiding in him. That's figure of speech. He's just saying, don't act like somebody who is not born again. Do you understand?
So that is the language of spiritual development. We address the issues. We don't deny the facts. So that's what he's saying here. He's saying in verse 16, hereby we perceive the love of God because he laid down his life. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Verse 17, whoso has the world's goods and sees his brother have need, has shut up the bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the world? How can you say the person has the love of God? You know, that's a figure of speech. How can you say he's born again? That's what he's saying. So he said, but I'm born again. They say, act like it. I'm born, I have eternal life. Why are we not seeing the light of eternal life? We are not able to see the internal life of the eternal life. It's not evident. You get it? So that's what they address in spiritual growth. Is that clear? When Jude says to contend earnestly for the faith. Contend earnestly for the faith. That is spiritual growth. So, in Peter teaching this, that is gnosis from epignosis. That is a particular fact. You know it. He now says, begin to walk in the realization of that fact. Begin to walk in it. It's now spiritual growth. Is that clear? So it says, add to your epignosis. Gnosis. So look at this again. Let's examine one or two things shortly or briefly. Why do we pray? You know, we have already sorted the issue of when James says pray for wisdom. I think we've sorted that out. It doesn't mean that you don't have wisdom. You get it. It also means you don't have it. It's both ways. So you need to realize what he's talking about. Why do we pray? For example, the Pauline prayers. I'm just looking forward to a day when I would look at the Pauline prayers. I think we've looked at Ephesians 3 before. 14. Okay. Look at the Ephesians 3, 1:17. The prayer. It says, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And the word there is epignosis. So, the A part of Paul's prayer in the Ephesian church was to pray for epignosis of Christ's finished work of redemption. And then what he's doing at the right hand of the Father in our stead and us in him. That was a prayer. Epignosis. But by the time we get to chapter 3, he uses gnosis. Ephesians 3. He now says in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, the surpassing knowledge of the love of Christ. Look at that word. The surpassing knowledge, and that is gnosis. So, in praying for people, we also pray for them to realize in practical terms, which we said, it's applicable, usable. Practical terms. So, he always interchanges those words in praying. Colossians 1:9. Same way he prayed. Don't forget that those words are very similar. There's just a slight difference where one comes into what actually dawns on you in your everyday living. But still from epignosis. So it's not like they are variant terms. No, they are not. In Colossians 1:9. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Notice what he says. In the knowledge of his will, epignosis. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In all sophia, insight. And sophia is used for a skill. something that you have a depth to do, something that you are a master at, in all wisdom, referring to spiritual understanding, or like I'll put it if I was to translate it, understanding from the Spirit. So that means this prayer is directed for your thinking, for your mind. For your mind. For your mind. For the way you think. I tell people a lot of times that the mind of a man is so powerful. And that's where you have your emotions, your reasons, your feelings. It's so powerful. Because some people's minds are not renewed. Alright? They know which one is the inward witness and their emotions. They don't know. So, they first have to realize that that mind has to be well enlightened. Watch this. That you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, I'm coming to that, being fruitful in every work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That prayer, like I said earlier, is for the mind, for your thinking. You will grow, increase in the knowledge of God. I'll come back to this, that prayer in a moment. In Philippians 1:9. So, Ephesians 1 is about Christ's finished work. Colossians 1 is about what? Understanding. Wisdom. Being fruitful in every good work. So, epignosis must be very definite. Remember that? It must refer to something in particular. Now look at Philippians 1:9. And I pray, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more. Now don't forget the word abound means to increase in what? Influence. More and more in knowledge and in all judgments. Pay attention to this. But in all judgments, now in knowledge and in judgment. Now that word judgment is discernment. Discernment. Aesthesis in the Greek. A-I-S-T-H-E-S-I-S. A-I-S-T-H-E-S-I-S. It was used in those days for judges. How they delved into matters. You look at things and you can scrutinize them with, this is right, this is wrong. So you can see that this prayer is also gnosis. Usable. Your love now is in discernment. So, the focus in Philippians is on walking in love. Love. That is, you may be without offense to the day of Christ. Without offense. Things like unforgiveness. I recall when Brother Higgy wrote the book and he mentioned, I forgot the book now, he mentioned that the things that weigh a whole lot. You know, he talked about spiritual sins. I never got it until later years that he's talking about. It's not all those physical things. You know, that when you talk about offense is spiritual in nature. Because people can be hypocritical about forgiveness and they say, "Well, it's okay, I'm fine," and all that. And it's worse because two things now: there's unforgiveness, there's hypocrisy, and there's lying, and they matter. I have to tell you that the truth of the matter is that if truly that we are going to receive for what we do in the body, a God that is faithful to His word, if He tells you that you will be judged, believe Him. Do you understand? Believe is have faith in it. You get it? You have to have faith in it. Now watch this. So see the words used. Okay? There are words that he used. So, he mentions love. So, every time you read epignosis, make sure you read what he's talking about. Because it is knowledge specific. Remember that? Knowledge specific. So, look at this.
In Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 15, it deals with you being blessed, being chosen, being predestined, being forgiven, being accepted. It goes on and on, being sealed. Then he now says, so there is a being. What you are, what you have been given, who you are. And that's that the eyes of understanding being enlightened, that you may know. For example, those people who fight against eternal salvation, what is most annoying is that they are also eternally saved. You know, it's really annoying. I wish you were not. So you can experience the grief of what you are hoping for. You get it. So, that's the opportunity. That you may know. Practical. Again, chapter 3. To comprehend. So there is a practical aspect to knowledge. To know. To realize. Now, notice the prayer in Philippians, that you may walk worthy. You may walk worthy. Let's look at that statement, walk worthy. You may walk worthy. No, that Colossians, sorry. Colossians 1, 9. You may walk worthy. You see it again in Ephesians 4, 1. Walk worthy. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus, of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy. Walk worthy. So, in all the prayers, you find a walk. After that prayer is made, you now find a walk. For example, Ephesians 5:2. Be ye imitators of God as their children. That word there is mimetos in the Greek. It means to act out something in reality. As their children. Of course, King James said, be followers of God. Where are you following him to? Is to imitate, to act in his stead. As their children. He says, walk in love. So, there is a walk. When there is an epignosis, alright, and then there is a realization, there must be what? A walk. There must be a walk. Is that not what James was teaching? Huh? Is that what James was teaching? Where do you find the spiritual growth? Where do we see the spiritual growth? In the walk. Because it is in the walk that we will see it. The walk. Walk in love. You don't walk in love towards God. You walk in love. The walk in the spirit is towards men. You find the walk. Ephesians 5:8, walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. So look at that word, walk worthy. You know, I said you find it in Colossians 1, 9 and 10. You also find it in Ephesians 4, verse 1. Then Romans 6, let's see other references. Romans 16, verse 2. Oh, I'm right. Romans 16, verse 2, walk worthy. Is the Greek word axios, A-X-I-O-S, walk worthy, as you receive her in the Lord, as becometh saints. That's the word becometh, as is worthy of saints. Walk worthy of saints. Philippians 1:27. Philippians 1:27. Only let your behavior be as it becometh the gospel. That's the word worthy. As it's worthy of the gospel of Christ. Philippians 1:27. Colossians 1:10. We read that earlier. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. 1 Thessalonians 2, then verse 12. That you should walk worthy of God who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. Walk worthy of God. 3 John 6. which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if you bring forward on their journey after a godly source, thou shalt do well. That's the word well. And do what is worthy. Now the word axios means to match the value. To match the value. None of you have ever used your Christmas shoes to play football before. And your mother brought out a disc out of your body. A disc, Sheol and Gehenna. Everything out of your body. Because, why this shoe? For you know you're a young boy, you take it out for your friends. See my shoe. See my shoe. And then you go and play football. Not just one useless football. You know, we play this particular ball that is almost like a balloon. That has rough, rough. Have you played it before? This is not worthy of this shoe. Do you understand? So, matching in value was when in 1982, I think, when, 81, they had this car called Shagari Style. The president of Nigeria was using there. Fela bought it and now put firewood. Just to make it unworthy. So we've got an embarrassment because the president is having a big car and somebody uses it to do firewood. You know, that is anti-axios of the use. So it means that what matches in value. But you know that axios is it's a word dependent. That is, you must first of all see value. That is why it comes afterwards. Gnosis and what? Epignosis. You must first of all have seen it. If you have not seen yourself in Christ, how can you walk worthy of it? You must first of all recognize it. Elaine told me, Adokiti, that she is falling in love with an unbeliever. I said, you are mad. That's the first problem you should cure. Sir, I'm just expressing my feelings. I said, that's the issue. It's your feelings that is the problem. Your feeling is demonic. Have you not read what fellowship are like with darkness? If you first of all see her as dark, or him, sorry, as darkness, how would you love darkness? Because she hasn't come to the gnosis of that scripture. That the devil is his father. And I asked, is the brother, because it was my friend, was our pastor, thank God, is a fellow. He's actually a Muslim. He doesn't believe in Jesus like that, like that, like that, like that, like that, but he's a good man. I say, you are a bad Christian. He's a good man, you are a bad Christian. At least, there's something good about him, something bad about you. Do you get it? She hasn't seen it. Why would you tell people that they should give? That God does not respond to your giving. They just go sad. But why? You know why they are like that? They've not come to see who he is. To them, he's a tax collector. He's a casino game player with them. If I had a certain man on television who names all, he puts dollar for every sound. The bad part about it is that in the originals, the Psalms have no number. That's the unfortunate part. But let's let it go. So, child of God, emoji. There's nothing to your giving except that you gave. That means I'll withdraw my seed. See the problem? You never knew what giving was. When you give and you're expecting something, you have not given. It's a transaction. That's not giving. Jesus said, give expecting nothing in return. He said, if you give, and the second one, he said, how are you different from sinners? You must never quote that scripture in some finance conventions. That's the end. So they have a way they can explain it.
that though something is going to come up, but don't expect it. Not expecting it is faith in the word. I know how they go about those things. Those guys are artists. Hallelujah. So what he was saying, do not, it's not right to teach, to correct wrong doctrine on social media. He's in the wrong place to talk about social media. I said, but you're on social media. I thought you would find the emails of everybody who are doing and send to them. I said, you know what your problem is? You are looking for insurance. Sailor. Oh, yeah. So, when you don't realize what giving is, I watch my treasures grow. You bring out 20 naira. As I let it go, you add 5 naira. What I give to God, that brings some confusion. God, okay, another 10 naira. I never lose 10 naira. So you be grateful. But somebody comes and says, when I was in Zambia last year, a taxi driver took me and he dropped all the money in his pocket. By the end of that year, he owned a fleet of taxis. Eh? The greed in your soul comes out. That is diversification of economy, see? The greed of your mind just comes out. He said, and they know the kind of stories they will tell you. That is like magnet. When I was in London, so person, you will never find, there was a useless story I read that the richest man in Nigeria saw a particular pastor and they asked him to get up from his seat, and that's how he became a billionaire. And people were kicking like, I said, is this life? I said, I also saw a pastor yesterday, I said, as a young Christian, if you tell me that, I would deny the faith. He said, why? Because it's too dull for me here, for you. We that we don't even sit down at all. It's not too dull. We don't sit down. We just, man of God, welcome back. And he didn't give us anything. That God then gave to a Muslim because he got up. I would deny the faith. You don't get it. You get it. I like to think. I don't know about you. Hallelujah. The pastor said, I never thought like that. I said, you should though. Somebody got up and they gave him billions. We don't sit down. We just usher. We do welcome, sir. Bless you, sir. We don't even just get up. We give money. Okay. So when you don't give, you come and serve in the church, and you say, it's because you don't have, if you like, be saying, the gifts of the Spirit are with everybody. We have, phenorusis, phenocostis, whatever. Come and serve, you are not serving. There's no epignosis in your life. Because you will walk worthy of it. You will do what matches the value. Hallelujah. You get that? You do what matches the value. So, all the prayers for gnosis were for our thinking process. Many of us, our thinking process has to change. It has to align with God's word. It's very vital. It has to first of all change. That's why, look at, you know all those prayers about, you will see things differently. Hallelujah. So all those prayers are for the mind. You know why we went to all this? Because foolishness and wisdom are found primarily in our thinking. You will know if you are foolish. That's why when Paul is talking, he begins to point questions, interrogations. Think about this. Look at it. So it is in your mind that you will know. Your thinking process. How do you arrive at a conclusion? How? How do you arrive at decisions? What is the parameter that you use? Is it worthy of the gospel, of your calling? Does it match the value of the nature that you have in Christ? Look at it. Does it? Hallelujah. Those are questions that are in the mind. Because foolishness and wisdom are a function of the mind. Go to 1 Corinthians 1. You learning something here? Notice Paul says in verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. That's the Greek word moria, which is from moros in the Greek. Foolishness. That doesn't make sense. You know, we made a decision, don't forget. We said there is the wisdom of the world. Alright? And there's the wisdom of God. Don't call science the wisdom of God. Okay? Don't. We'll look at some things in a moment. Don't. What is called the wisdom of God is if Christ is evaluated in it. That's the point. Christ is what makes it of God. Do you understand? You understand what I'm saying? Christ is that which makes it of God. So that's why, in the view of those scientists who are Greeks, the reason why they saw it as foolishness and they were called foolish is because of their despite for Christ. Now, what is this? Christ crucified. What does that mean? That's the reason why their knowledge comes to nothing. It comes to nothing. We will look at some practical things. Trust God this week, next week. We'll talk about ministry to an life and all that. Some very practical things, which we have, we'll be looking at already. So, in the wisdom of God, watch this. In the wisdom of God, okay, let me put it like this. The wisdom of this world sees the wisdom of God as foolishness. That's why, for a man highly intellectual, for him to be born again, he will first of all declare himself foolish. You understand what I'm saying? I was talking to a fellow Christian years back who said, fellow wanted to be a professor. And I said, there's nothing wrong to be a professor. I said, me, myself, I'm really not to be a PhD holder. It will happen. If you like doubt, that's your business. Some of you are doubting. Because I kept seeing it, I keep saying it every year that you are doubting. Doesn't matter. It will happen. Right? Amen. Maybe I should stop saying it. My school wrote me a letter that I've not proceeded further. I said, give me time. He said, they want to organize a phone call. I said, which day? He said, give me day. They called, I just didn't pick it. He said, I don't have. It will happen. You know? But I told the person, I said, you know what? I said, it's good, though, to pursue your academic career. I said, but you know, not at all costs. Not at all costs. Not at any cost. There should be a limit to what you want to know. Hallelujah. Someone said, well, they are studying some history of what happened in the days of Jesus to authenticate them. I said, what do you want to use it for? Say, just to, do you need it? If you spend that time to just stay on Ephesians, you know, you'll be a better Christian. Just spend that time on Ephesians. You are just curious. What do you want to know? Someone told me, he said, when he said that Jesus had a wife and had children. I said, that's interesting. So what do you have to say about that? I said, it's interesting. I said, well, comment. I said, about what? Jesus having a wife. I said, I've never read it before. He said, would you read it? I said, no, you keep reading it. And tell me what you saw. How would I? Oh, God. You'll now give me a book. Jesus' wife, and I'll collect it. When I'm not just. Do you know how many hours I spent just thinking on a chapter overnight? I used 2 hours, I dozed off. I woke up again, I used another 1 hour. That one is still there, I'm praying for line prayer. What kind of prayer would I now pray over that book you want to give me? I better find one for yourself, my guy. You are the one looking for salvation. I'm saved. You are the one that is doubting your salvation. Me, I'm very born again. You are looking for a book of Thomas. Of all individuals. Thomas. Whoever is doing you is intelligent at it. That person has sat down with you. That person is a paraclete. So if it's the wisdom of God, you understand? The wisdom of men will see it as foolishness. Look at tongues. Do you know that in your mind somewhere, if it's not renewed, you still be thinking, is this thing really real? Is this thing really real? Imagine if you taught a child, if a child starts speaking in tongues early, you know, he won't doubt that it's a language. Right? Because just think that there's Yoruba, Hausa, and tongues. Yoruba, Hausa, Igbo, tongues, you know. He will have to go to school to be told that this is how to speak. Then he will think that this one is not regular. They say it's rubbish. You understand? So if they can, there's a kind of knowledge that rejects it. So he was telling me, I have a lot of theologian friends. One said, this tongue, how can somebody be speaking gibberish? And he says that it's of God. I might have told the guy, was it last year? He said, why are you not a Calvinist? I said, because I'm not predestined to be. God does not will for me to be. You are mischievous. God has not predestined me to be one. I said, but you tell me that God is sovereign. Say yes. He knows all things. Why should you have a problem with tongues? You should not have a problem. So he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto me. I get that point. I get it very well. That's the part I'm not getting. He says, no man understands. And that's the wisdom of God. How be it in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. A man not understanding does not make it wrong. It just means he does not understand. Hallelujah. That's why doctors finally had to accept divine healing. Someone say, I want to see proof. I said, go around. Be looking for proof. Want to see proof of divine healing. How do you want to see it? You'll be carrying your machine around to see whether the person is still sick. Whoever puts his body down for you is also sick. He says, in the spirit he speaks mysteries, no man understands. Yet in verse 14 and 15, he says, if you pray in unknown tongue, your spirit prays, but your mind is what? Unfruitful. Now, it's in that mind that you have PhD, that you read blogs. Is it that mind that you were trained as a child? Is it that mind? So the mind becomes, there's a disconnect. Till there is a revelation. There's a disconnect. Look at chapter verse 23. It says, if you speak with tongues and the unbeliever comes in, interestingly, there's also the unlearned, the Christian who is born again. He said, would he not say that you are mad? The word mad is the Greek word mainomai, M-A-I-N-O-M-A-I. It actually means insane, literally. Raving mad. That, you know the kind of madness that goes to the town? That your madness is not even private. It's public. How can you come publicly and be saying these kind of things? And then you are praying. Like someone's father, very close to me. Father said, my enemies got me. He said, my son was speaking in tongues. If you see how he was speaking, he said, my enemies got me. The man is a professor. He said, my enemies have caught up with me. You can imagine. And he will say the same tongues. And then
give an interpretation and somebody will receive a direction and go. But this one is saying, my enemies. You see the difference? Foolishness to him. So in verse 23, it says that they will say, are you not mad? In Acts 12:15, that was what they told Rhoda. That who, you say, who is outside? Say, Peter. Something is wrong with you. Something is wrong with you. Acts 26:24, Paul was also called mad. And verse 25, John 10:20, Jesus was also called the same way, insane. So yet we pray that way. Because they couldn't grab what they were saying. So they will call them mad. So in the wisdom of God, the wisdom of men sees it as foolishness. That word moria again, it means absurd. It looks absurd. Just like mad means absurd behavior. It means this is unsound. This is unacceptable. But yet that is where the wisdom of God is. You know, they said Christ crucified. That doesn't make sense. But that's salvation. Hallelujah. That's salvation. I told a guy years back, he said, how can somebody, he said he would rather believe in karma. How can somebody come and die for your sins? I said, I believe in karma. I said, the first thing you need to do is this. I said, you know you are not as intelligent as you think? He said, how? I said, you know that, if you look at, with all your science, do you know that you are so small in the universe? A small person. I said, can you tell me now what your brother is doing in so and so place? He said, he doesn't know. You see? You don't even know what somebody is doing in the next room. And you now want to phantom everything. You are putting yourself on a high pedestal. You don't even know what somebody is doing in the next room. And you say, I said, the first thing is, first of all, be foolish to be wise. That's what the Bible says. He that is wise says, first of all, be what? Foolish. First of all, he that knows, say, I don't know. That's how to know. No, you are trying to gauge it and all that. Someone was asking me a question. He said, but I'm just looking at the law. So I said, please, find something else to talk about. I don't have time for this. Bible, no more. I don't have time for all that. Me, I'm also a little bit intelligent. But you see, I allow my intelligence to just play around. I allow God's word to be the intelligence. I like what John Huston used to say. John, not Joel. He says that God is wiser than all of us. Do you agree with that? And so calm down. Or like you say, kuzi. God is wiser than you. So calm down. That's what you accept. Accept it. Accept the will of God. So, first of all, the wisdom that is of God is in your spirit. Is where? Is in your spirit. And the written word exposes it to you. Are you there? James 1 calls it your natural face. So, science becomes useful for me when it retains God. When it retains God. So, if there's no God in it, which, when I say God, I mean Christ Jesus, it becomes the wisdom of this world. So, knowledge is evaluated by how much of Christ is in it. I'm saying every kind of knowledge. How much of Christ does it value? Look at Romans 1:19 and 20. Let's look at that. Romans 1. It says in verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That is, it will take someone to reject God, to look at nature and science. It says someone to actually be an unbeliever and begin to form atheism. I call atheists, I say it's a joke. You are all joking. It's a joke. The reason I know about science, you won't dispute it. You know, that things just appear from somewhere. Boah. So, from disorder, you now have order. The basic law of thermodynamics. Where do you get that from?
You can't get order from disorder. Praise God. It's even your laws. Amen. Very funny. So even the eternal, the natural things. Look at Psalm 19. How would you? You see that in one spot in America, begin to fantasize. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show His handiwork. You know, you will see. Hallelujah! You are the one. You are the one. Something is already happening. You are now finding out. You are still finding out what is already happening. Not that when you find out, it begins to happen, and you are still doubting. You need more than help. Psalm 19:1. Look at other places. Psalm 8:7-8. Psalm 148 verse 1 to 4, for example. The psalmist. Psalm 148, 1 to 4. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him on all His angels. Praise Him all His hosts. Praise Him sun, moon and stars. Now these are figurative things. Praise ye all the stars. Praise ye the heavens and the heavens. And the waters that be above the heavens. So he said that look, these things they show His excellencies. You can see it. It took science a long time to agree that there is beyond all these machines, there is a subconscious mind. There is someone there. I mean, you're a joke. It's even early you knew it. There is a spirit in man. Not many years ago, and you are doing research on that. There is a spirit in man. Are you arguing? No, it's just flesh and blood. It will take disobedience to begin to reason like that. Rather than with the knowledge of Christ, a man begins to explore and he begins to see the beauty of God's handiwork. Hallelujah. That's the wisdom of God. Not to go from what God has made to there's no God. You know, that's really foolishness. A whole lot of it. So Christ is God in all knowledge. When we look at Him, whatever knowledge we have, we evaluate it in Christ. Look at James 3. Let's get back over. Like, you will see. So obviously, knowledge becomes visible in our conduct, right? Right? Apparently, the way we think. Then in our conduct. Look at James 3, 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Okay? It's a question. They notice that the pretext of that statement is, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear holy berries? Neither a vine figs. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Of course, he was talking about people who curse. You right? And about blessing. I now come to talk about wisdom. Say, who is the wise man? The word wise is the word sophos in the Greek. We've seen that before. S-O-P-H-O-S. It means clever. Now, that's not something you are because you are born again. It's what you grow into. Who is a wise man among you? He said we are all wise. Now, look at that word sophos. Paul used it for himself. 1 Corinthians 3:10. I'm a wise master builder. That means we can have foolish ones. I'm skillful at it. I have insight into it. 1 Corinthians 3:10. In 1 Corinthians 3:18. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, notice that. Seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Can you see it? Can you understand? Do you understand it? That means you first of all put aside the things you say you know. So that you can know wisdom. That is no wisdom. That you become wise. For the wisdom of this world is what? Foolishness with God. For it is written here that it takes the wise in their own craftiness. Verse 20. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise and they are vain. They are vain. Hallelujah. So, it says, to become wise, you first become what? Foolish. That is, you first of all disregard what you used to hold in high esteem. That's the first thing you do. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 5. Is there no wise man among you? I speak to your shame. Is there not a wise man among you? One that was able to judge between his brethren. A wise man among you. So we can have, if these kind of questions come, that means we can have very foolish Christians. Praise God. We can have foolish Christians. It's possible to be born again and be foolish. Say after me. Say it again now. How do we know foolishness? He says in his conduct. Is in his conduct. So if you see a Christian who rates earthly knowledge more than the written word, is a foolish Christian. Is a foolish Christian. So it's in the actions of the man. No, we said that knowledge or wisdom or spiritual health is discernible. We will know. It's in the actions of the man that will see foolishness or wisdom. James 3, one more time. Is there any wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Meekness of wisdom. That is, the insight he has will be seen in his disposition. His meekness. There's a meekness of insight. Because the knowledge of God's word makes a man much more humble and simple. Say if he's wise. Let us see it in his conduct. Are you seeing this? Huh? So, that means Sophia is practical. Right? Let's see it in your works. Let's see it in your behavior. It mentions good works. And it tells us how to handle what we know. Now, let's look at how he begins to explain it. Verse 14. But if you have what? James 3. If you have what? And strive in your heart, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Now that's not wisdom. Bitterness, envy. You know, it begins to mention the works of the flesh. Hallelujah. Look at verse 15. Let's take it together. This wisdom descends not from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. So, we have insight. We can know if it's the wisdom of God by the fruit it produces. If it's envying. And you know the thing is this, and I think I mentioned last week. If you know a bit about the commercial world, you know that envy is like a virtue. Do you understand? It's like, we want to do this. They are like this. They are here now. We must do this one. They must do this one. They must do that one. Bitterness. I mean, did you see that MTN advert? Eh? That's the world. MTN advert. I like it too. Well, you know, a believer cannot act like that towards others. Can't bring people down. But that's the way the world functions. And when you look at how people become wealthy and rich, that's the wisdom of this world. Yet, some people will come and teach that in church as business principles. Because if you don't do strife, you can't make it like that. Oh. You have to do strife. You will bring down the product of the other person. You will demarket the person. Is that not it? I know. I mean, in offices, for example, even in schools,
people begin to, who will be first? Who will be second? Some people die in university, they want to be first. Come and teach me this thing. Tomorrow, because he wants to be first. Then, when he now makes the first class, oh, Father, I thank you. It's not to the glory of God at all. Amen? At all. The first class is yours. It's for you. Keep it. It's not to the glory of God. Who did you help to pass in school? Who? You recovery, not in the exam, you recovery, even in reading. I've never seen that to do before. No, it's nothing. I had a guy in my university days who would take newspapers to cover so you would not see the. If people can do it, they don't mind just taking all the air to breathe and all of us will breathe again. Do you understand? But you know, you see, that guy is smart. When everybody is sleeping, he's reading. I know that. Give us 6 pupils to pass. You now give us the wisdom of this world. Hallelujah. Imagine Jesus in your class. And he's saying, say, what did you learn? Say, nothing. He wouldn't have done that. Hallelujah. But then when you do that, say, are you stupid? Everything you know, you are telling them. Don't you know that? You won't be able to make best students in the class. That is the wisdom of this world. There's no Christ in that statement. Oh, we are quiet. It's okay. Hallelujah. Amen. It's vain. Vanity. Works of the flesh. He says this wisdom descends not from above. It's devilish, sensual. Look at 16. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. Confusion and every evil work. Hallelujah. There's confusion and every evil work. Really, ministry, I tell people, if you discover that the flow of the Spirit of God is not like it should be, check their strife. Check people's hearts. Check what's running in their minds. Hallelujah. It's confusion. And every evil work. Whereas, in the world, it will thrive. You know, God that strife thrives in the world, not in church. Have you observed it? That to be striving, competing, is how we graduate in the world. But in the church, that's what destroys. Have you observed it? It's the exact opposite. So, one will walk with the flesh, but when it comes to the Spirit of God, it doesn't work. Are you there? Did you discover? Now look at this. Look at verse 17. Are you there? But the wisdom that is from above, hallelujah, is what? First pure. Then what? Let's read it together. First what? Pure. Then peaceable, gentle, easy to be treated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Have you discovered that's 1 Corinthians 13? You notice it? That's Paul's 1 Corinthians 13. The love of God. Have you discovered that? Just take that and look at 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 4 to 8. You'll see similarities. You know, I've always told you that the love of God is what? The wisdom of God in human relationships. But the thing you said is that even if you don't have a scripture for what you are doing, that you can simply ask a question, what would the love of God do? That guided me a whole lot. What would the love of God do? So look at how he describes. You know, everything he describes in verse 17 is the love of God. But you know, in the world, you look like a perpetual fool. What's wrong with you? What's this? What's that? The love of God is the wisdom of God in human relationships. We act based on the love of God. Hallelujah. I was telling pastors, I said, someone did something years back. You know, when I used to pastor in Ibadan. Years back. And it happened that 17 years after, the same thing now played back. And tables now turned. Now, in my mind, as an unbeliever, if I think like an unbeliever, you just say, hey, my chance has come. But it didn't even cross my mind. No, we just walk in love. I mean, the same if I was. And I said, no. The love of God is our motivation here. You don't revenge back. You don't do, you know, you don't. You don't. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. You know, believers don't plan coups. We don't. Hatred is not part of us at all. We don't rejoice because somebody who made my business go down, his own business has gone down. See? I'm a child of God. I'm the apple of his eye. I'm the sugarcane of his teeth. No. You just yielded to the devil. Hallelujah. That's it. There's the wisdom of God in the way we act. So when Christ is absent in that, your intelligence, that intelligence is sensual, is demonic. Think you are smart. Begin to plan. Say, what I'll do is, you know what I'm going to do? You stay at the door at 6 o'clock. You know, begin to do like your SSS. Begin to, you know what I'm going to do? We'll follow him. You will not know I'm behind him. I'll be coming behind. Okay, let's assume that the person you want to catch is even doing the wrong thing. Can't you just pray? I don't pray. I want to show him. That's the world. That's intelligence from the world. That's how the world reasons. Hallelujah. Love will believe the best of every person. For example, personally, I don't judge people's motives until they show it. I just don't know how to do it. Some of my friends come and say, we know you will not believe this, but let's just tell you. I would. Brother Hagin told the story of one time that he saw someone. You know, sometimes I see walking in love. It's God's word. Hallelujah. You know, someone said, why do you think Christ? Why did Christ go to the cross? It's not the love of God. That's why it is stupid. How can he die for somebody? The Bible says that's wisdom. Hallelujah. He said that guy went into a dark alley. In America, when you know dark alley is where they do all sorts of stuff. He said he just walked away and said, if you knew the Bible well, he would not have done that. And the Lord told him that well. He said the Lord told him that, Brother Hagin, that how did you know? Why do you know that he didn't repent when he went there? What do you know? Say, Yakipa, it's true. He said, then, you know why I won't listen to you? If you were in his shoes, you'll have done worse. No, you just keep quiet. The wisdom of God is actually the love of God in how we act. There's the love of God in how we act. We believe the best of people. We are easy to be entreated. So, we don't allow the world system to dominate how we think. You know, the way most of us are what Telemundo. Your husband or wife is in trouble. Telemundo, what do you call? All these detective films. You now begin to be very, very smart. You know, it will now overshadow the love of God in your life. I'll begin to be very smart. Ah, Edmundo. I don't even know that one very well. But I know Paloma. Diego. I've seen that one before. Say, ah. Just when, maybe your husband or wife doesn't say, ah, that was how Diego, ah! That was a Diego move. Before you know it, you begin to act like a non-believer. And that, you know, if for example, one says, I say, no, wait, I believe they say, ah, you are stupid! And that's the wisdom of God. How would Jesus say, forgive them, for you don't know what they do? I'll say, you don't know what? Somebody took a spear, put it, doesn't know what he's doing. Ah, do you understand? That's the way you're going to this. Hallelujah. Okay, are you there? Look at 1 Corinthians 6. Are we trying to settle issues between two Christians on money before? The Bible is talking to the back seat. Where is it? The Bible says, they will hear you, they say, but sir. Ha, sir. Sir. If it's money. Ah! You'll be surprised. See what Paul says. You know, it's not difficult to know that when Paul says that they took themselves to an unbeliever, there can't be any other issue but money. You know, I was too sure. First time I really saw that, I knew it was money. That, well, they can't take themselves because of working in love, or because of money. It's just the money. Look at it, 1 Corinthians 6. It says, now therefore, verse 7, there is utterly a fault among you. Because you go to law with one another, why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? It's money. I hope you get my gist. Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that's your brethren. Now look, accept it. So say, eh? That those kind of scripture, you don't even mark it. You just keep it. That is because they are kind, that's why I told them. That is not language. You would have told the Ephesian church. Are you there? In choosing deacons, you know, we're supposed to see that they are wise. We can't take a barrage person and make him a deacon. I can't take it. Never. I'm not a fool. Don't ever take it. Don't make that kind of person a leader. That was a wise man. You know? That brother. He says his mind though. There's some brother in church there. Be careful with him. It does not take nonsense. And you think it's a good thing. Say you don't take nonsense. Ah, that's new. Some told me, say, no, you are a pastor, are you a teacher? Me, I'm an evangelist. You can be, I'm an evangelist. Till today, I've not gotten the meaning of that definition till today. And I never asked him, what do you really mean? Maybe he has to come and say, what exactly were you saying? Hallelujah. Go to Ephesians 5. Are you learning something? There are some scriptures, if many people who teach success motivation and all these business models in churches, when they see it, they will stop. Hallelujah. They will just stop. Because we should be very careful with the wisdom of this world. We should take it with such carefulness. Hallelujah. Look at this. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as what? Wise. So it's possible for me to walk as a fool, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Observe this. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. Look at how many times he's saying that. Not as fools, but as wise. Be ye not unwise. He wants you to really think about it. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now look at that word, will of the Lord. It's the Greek word, thelema. T-H-E-L-E-M-A. Now, I'll give you two references. You know, in Matthew 26:42, Jesus said that thy will be done. It's a thelema. Okay? Then Acts 21, verse 14. Recall when they told Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Then he said, why do you break my heart? Then he said, let the will of God be done. Now, that word Thelema, pay attention now, is like a preferred option. It always predisposes that you have a choice. You have a choice. Let the will of the Lord be done. What it means is that I will do the will of God. That's what it means. It's not whatever happens is the will of God. That's absolute nonsense. That's not the interpretation. It means that, look, I will do this. A preferred option. So it says, understanding the will of the Lord. That means that there are options outside my choice in life. There are things outside what I would have loved to do. What I would have loved to do. To understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not fools. What's a fool? A fool, Jesus described it in Luke 24, are slow to believe. So, a fool is someone who is slow. Luke 24, 25. Oh, fool, slow to believe. Slow to believe. Which is James 1, James 1, 19. Slow to believe. Because, but the Bible says, man of God, is slow and is quick to respond to the flesh. Slow. Hallelujah. You know we are supposed to be quick to believe the best about our brethren. We should be slow to believe. You know, Paul said that he told me this about you, but I believe it in part. That should be our approach. But what we do is that what they tell you about the person, you will believe everything. What the person says, you believe it in part. So when I come, I'll see you face to face. So it's important to know that we should not be quick to believe the worst, but be quick to believe the best and slow to believe the worst. You know, in Galatians 3:1-2, when it talks about all fools, who has bewitched you, it was talking about believing too. So, what you believe shows how foolish or how wise you are. What you believe shows how foolish or how wise you are. Look at James 1. Remember, Ephesians 5 says, knowing what the will of the Lord is. So, we have options outside the will of the Lord. Look at James 1:19. I want us to read that portion together. Remember, James was talking about wisdom, and he mentions gentleness, easy being treated, and all that. Look at James 1:19. Let's read it together, please. Don't forget, we're still in Ephesians 5. Look at James 1. Let's go. Wherefore, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Do you know that most of the wrong decisions we make in life, we make it in anger? Just an overreaction. Be slow to make conclusions. Be slow to wrath. Slow to speak. So that slow to speak relates to what? Do you know that the slow to speak was talking about emotions? So, slow to speak is not slow to talk in the class. No. Slow to react to things. So, I can deal with anger primarily where? In my words. Slow to wrath. So, when I'm quick to speak and slow to hear, I'm a foolish believer. If you write, for example, I've been posting on the social media for 8 years. I endeavor to do it virtually every day. Do you know that some folks will not read what you're saying? They'll just assume this is what you're saying and they will respond. And some of them are very intelligent people. But they're intelligent in the natural, but very stupid. Read it well. Read it again. Sometimes, you know, you can asking questions is not foolishness. It's actually wisdom. Ask questions. Say, well, you said this. Can you help me go over it again? Some of them will know what to ask questions because they will think that they will look like they are foolish. But they actually are foolish. Ask questions. They often say that the foolish man is the one who listens to reply, not to understand. Naturally, I like to. When I was younger, I used to be very reactive. But I've just grown to. It just come with growing up. And my kids know me. People around me know me. My wife knows me. Every other person. Everybody close to me knows this. I just say, let's talk about it later. Even because I didn't hear what you said. I say, let's talk about it later. Give me time to think about it. I can't respond now. My name is not Jehovah. Even he himself, the Bible says, is slow. Right? He has long suffering. If they say God has something that is long, you know it's long. So, calm down. Must you talk? Must you type? Must you talk now? Must you respond now? So say, someone is calling me a liar. He wants an answer now. Say nothing. You will feel somehow. How? Bible says to be slow to react. It's just wisdom. It's just wisdom. To be slow. When I started teaching, if I finish a teaching session like this, everybody will just be looking. Because it's everything that I know about that subject I'm going to say. Everything. And the one I don't know too, I'll say it. But I grew up and I said, why am I rushing to, generally? I looked at my age and I found out that even if I speed up time, I can't grow older than my age. So I just calm down generally. So when I now listen to Fair Price delivered me from rushing. I bought a series. That was late 95, was it? I think it was 95. On the book of Ephesians. So I was expecting to see, it was about 20 tapes. And it was just on Ephesians 6, 10 to 16. The funny part is when he now starts, when you're on tape 14, when you get to 15, he will go over half of what he said in 14. And I mean that, do you think we are stupid? Well, actually it's because we are. Because if I was not stupid, I won't be talking like that. Do you know how many times you read your Bible? You know, the Bible just says, you're supposed to read the Bible once and drop it. Thank you, Father. I give you praise, I give you glory. You just do what it is, read everything. I've read the Bible. So read something else. So I don't know, so gradually, and as I'm coming down, generally. You know, the man who teaches series of faith 1 year. Because what you can't explain simply is because you don't know it. Because you don't know it. You now become complicated and say, is it about this God? A God that can become a man. That's all. And you now begin to twist it. Actually, when you look at this man, this is God you don't understand. So be slow. Hallelujah. Somebody told me he wants to do a series on salvation. He said, when I hear so great salvation, I want to do a series on salvation. I said, that's interesting. He said, he has heard everything. I said, which one? He said, so great salvation. He said, I've heard 1 to 4. I said, what 1 to 4 are you talking about? He said, 1 to 4. I heard track 1 to 4. I said, it's not track 1 to 4. I said, it is not track 1 to 4. Relax. Just make sure you relax, generally in life. So, a key fact in wisdom is to be slow, generally. Have you observed that you take better decisions when you are slow? Who has observed that? You are wiser. Just be slow. Do you know that in the fruit of the Spirit, haste is not there. Quick is not there. Run is not there. In fact, there is more about don't do that. Hallelujah. He says, now get back to Ephesians 5. Redeeming the time, we'll come to that, because the days are evil. The days are evil. We'll come to that. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. We looked at that last week, right? That is debauchery, excesses. That one of the traits of foolishness is that you are just excessive. You are just excessive. You know, we mentioned marriage. You are just excessive. What are you excessive about? You want them to be taking your... Okay, don't let me go over that again. What are you excessive about? Just excessive. Somebody will build a house. Three children, one wife. And the house will be enough for the body of Christ. What do you need this for? What do you need? Are you crazy? What does a Christian do with a 50-bedroom house? Even if they gave you 50 angels, they can stay in one room. What are you doing with 5 cars? To go to where? Can you send one without a driver? Just go. What is the excessiveness about? Oftentimes, like I told you last week, we spend money to impress people. Just want to impress people. They will know. They must know. Do you know that most of what we call worry is how people are seeing us? That's all. And there are some churches that they give you the worry. You are coming to church on your own, or you say, you are more than this. And you say, I said, you are more than this. There's a day. There's a next level. There's a next level. You know, you were not thinking about it. There's a next level. Before you know it, you begin to steal money. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh. Oh, there's a drop of greatness in every man. I say, you are a great man. I say, you are a great. I say, You say, it's true. Most of what is worrying us is what people are seeing. Hardly do I see many believers worry about their prayer lives. Say, sir, I've been sleeping during prayer. It is never a cause for counseling. Sir, my spiritual life, maybe when you were younger in university, well, I'm not fast. University. Maybe when you were younger. Oh, is that growing up? You need to think. I don't know. I've not just been moving forward generally. I'm not moving forward. I'm not. You know, really, if you ask yourself objectively, you would think like that. You know that happiness, or let me say, you know, what makes you happy is your choice. You know, you can choose that some things will not determine how happy you are or how you are not. It's your choice. What's that? I just need to destroy you. Say, what's going on? Yeah. What's happening? You are going for a friend's wedding. And all your classmates will be there. Ah! See, what car am I going to take? Yes. You know, guy, I went to see. A pastor, were classmates of mine. So we had a meeting. I said, bye-bye. He didn't want to go back. Ha. I said, no, let me see you. But do a rest. You know, I was wondering why he wanted to come with me. So he came down. I said,
I just came to see what car did you bring. Said, because when we came for one old boys meeting, really shakalad all of us. So I never thought like that. So where is the car now? Me too, I bought this car. He's a vain man. That's a vain human being. Car. You came down to see car. Oh, yeah, see. Why is he so vain? Do you understand? That's why they know us in Africa. Someone told me, we were having a meeting sometime in London. He said, something about Africa, particularly Nigeria, said they have uncontrolled appetite. That just change the thing again, they will buy it again. See, they studied also. You get it? You know, today, if you go and take BRT, someone's going to say, bro, what happened? Whereas in the UK, everybody takes, you know, but here, what happened? Chat, I just used my car. It's well. It's not, it is well. He has said a lot of things with that statement, it is. You understand? But it just shows, and then you begin to, you yourself, the reason why you didn't take BRT is because you are stressed. I don't want you to think that something has gone on with my life. You know, Hallelujah. Because it's the evil. So excesses. Amen. Titus 1:6 talks about it. 1 Peter 4:4. Oh, yep, 4:4. Look at the, you know, what was it about the rich fool? Luke 12:20. What was he? You know, he had enough. He now said he will pull down the barns and build another thing. You know, it was just excessive. Okay, to do what? Okay, you kept 50 billion in your account. When you see all those guys that steal money, you know they have a problem. Just somebody bought 600 houses in a country. I said she needs, I don't believe in deliverance, but I believe in this. There is a spirit behind it. No, it's demonic. 600 houses. I remember I read about Imelda Marcos. Do you know her? She had 10,000 shoes. I said it shows that, you know, it was by mistake that a spirit entered into an octopus's body. How would a human being have 10,000 shoes? Are you okay? Those things are spiritual, though. Those are people who put money in their account. And they will not dress well. They won't eat well. Say, I'm saving for the rainy day. I'm saving for the rainy day. That's our brother. He went to buy shares. He couldn't. Did he knock him out? Ah! That's life. It's life. That's life. You know, 1 billion last year. Today is not 1 billion to give. Just take it across the border. They will tell you the value. How can you have so much money? What are you doing with it? I tell people in our ministry, we can't have money in our account. As it comes, we spend it. Church accounts. You will spend it. To do what? Building. Building up. Money for me is used for building. If there's no money, you spend it. There's money, you spend it. What are you keeping money for? Are you a company? A corporation? How can you be doing profit and loss? Godliness is profitable. Profit and loss account. Jesus. Die! Okay, I don't want to talk now. Anyway, what about the rich fool?
He had accounts in Chase, he had accounts in Stanbic, he had accounts all over the place, and money. He said,
let me destroy the bank.
He could not even think of others. Why would you have 20 houses? 20! To do what? Say real estate. To do what? It's as though the Bible is not being taught. It's just, what are you doing with it? Hallelujah.
This is a strange message, for some of you. Sorry.
He said if you will be excessive, be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Speaking to yourselves.
Supernatural.
So he says, don't be excessive in natural things, but be filled with supernatural things. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns. Look at what says you'll be excessive. Giving thanks. While you are thinking that what matters, you have a lot of money. He says, you have a lot of utterances. Are you blessing the church? Are you giving thanks? He said, thanks. So that's foolishness. Thanks. How much is thanks? What's thanks? I said, I have one million. You say you are giving thanks. Thanks. Carnality. Excessiveness. Hallelujah. Wisdom will exalt things that will remain, not things that will not remain. Look at 1 Timothy 6. No matter how old you are, know this verse. No matter how old you are. 1 Timothy 6:7, for we brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. Have you buried somebody before? Have you observed they don't carry anything? They don't. My dad was a king. They don't see. When he died, it was somebody from church. That's just life. He took nothing. There was one place he said, he wanted to build something there. When he died, we just sold it. He doesn't have control over it. Nothing. You know, wisdom will make you to start thinking like that from now. So that's wisdom. So what will remain really will be what you have done in lives of people. That was the rich fool. Put wisdom in how you see material things. What did I say? The wisdom of God. Christ. So, write this down. The wisdom of God focuses on eternal realities in our decision making. Go back to Ephesians 5. Eternal realities in our decision making. Ephesians 5:16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. It means to save up, buy back. We don't waste time. So, we don't waste time on appetites and passions. We redeem the time. We buy it up. We don't think I have all the time. We don't. Because the days are evil. That word days are evil is something that is instructive. It's the word poneros in the Greek. P-O-N-E-R-O-S. It means against you. It means it's against you. It means things around us are against the wisdom of God that we have. So we redeem the time. Because the time, the days, are against us. In 1 Corinthians 7:29, quickly run there, because of time. Paul says, 7:29, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. Is the word sustelo in the Greek? Sustelo. It means winding up. S-U-S-T-E-L-L-O. Is used in Acts 5:6 to be wound up. It means the time is not given to be forever. Sustelo. The time is short. Why did he say that? He says then that this verse of scripture, pay attention. He says, they that weep as though they wept not. They that rejoice as though they rejoice not. That means cut short your activities. Okay? They that buy as though they possess not. Where did he start from? He says, brethren, the time is short. It remains that both they that have wives be as though they had none. Now, what he's saying is a figure of speech. You must not give everything you have to marriage. That's what he's saying. You must not give everything you have to anything. Because these things are natural things. And that's why it pains a lot. When you see some folks, maybe they lose parents or spouse, maybe at an age and all that, the way they are distraught shows that they put so much hope in it. People actually sometimes backslide. It says, be as though you don't have. Be wise about it. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. Look at this. Verse 30 says, and they that buy as though they possess not. Pay attention to the verse 31. Let's read verse 31 together. And they, come on, let's go. Use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. Look at that word, they that use this world. That word is a very, very technical word. It's a word kraomai. C-H-R-A-O-M-A-I. It means to take advantage of something. You know, right now, we take advantage of the things of this world. Whether it's education, technology, science, commerce. Some of us, for example, we are in high places in some places, in our offices, in our businesses. You know, we are taking advantage of the things of this world. Are you following? He says, those that take advantage of the things of this world, those that use this world, those that, you know, you have leverage. You say, well, you see the, he's the CEO of this and this and this incorporated. He's the MD of so and so. He's the chief managing director. He's the chairman. He's this. He has this award. He got that award. Those that use this world. Look at how Paul crafts it. Those that take advantage of this world. He says, what do they do? As not using it. For the fashion of this world, what? Passes. That word, use this word, is what Paul, look at it, 1 Corinthians 9. He used that same statement in verse 12. If others be partakers of the power over you, are you not rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, privilege, but suffer all things. Verse 15 too. I have not used none of these things. So it refers to privilege. Alright? Privileges that you have. Amen. So the first thing is that I must see that the privilege. And it says, just like he did not abuse it, he did not use it. It says, as though. So there's a caution there. Okay? As though. You don't have the advantage. So this just defeats coming to boast about what you are in the natural. Are you following what I'm saying? It just takes it away. The world there is the word cosmos, affairs, C-O or K-O-S-M-O-S, politicians, corporate heads. It's as though. In other words, it's apply control to your positions. Don't let your positions dictate how you reason. That's what he's saying. Don't let what you have, the advantage that you have. You know, see how Paul calls it? He calls it an advantage. So it's not a spiritual thing. The same way he addressed the rich in this world, 1 Timothy 6:17. Those, they charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded. Wisdom dictates that you should treat earthly advantages as temporary things. That's wisdom. Wisdom dictates you handle natural things that way. Let me now look at the last word, 1 Corinthians 7. It says, as not abusing it. That word, this is a very important word. Go back to 1 Corinthians 7. Please open your eyes to this. This is an instruction from Paul. He says, if you have an advantage in this world, You have leverage in the political world, in the commercial world, in the scientific world, in the educational world, whatever. Say, those that, I know that those are the kind of things that we do in the body of Christ. We begin to, today, just begin to show, this is who I am. We even give them pulpit. We do programs. We call them, this guy ran a business, started a business when with 10,000 naira. It's now 1 billion. That fellow, he grew this one. He grew, see what he says. As not abusing it. Now, the second word he uses is the word kata kra omai. K-A-T-A-C-H-R-A-O-M-A-I. It means do not fully utilize it. Control your access to it. There is a limit to how a Christian should amass money. There is a limit to how a Christian should aspire. That's what he's saying. Curb your use of the advantage. Why did he say that? He said because what? Because what? Why? Why? For the fashion, I'll close here. For the fashion of the world, that word fashion is schema in the Greek. S-C-H-E-M-A. It means appearance. Actually, it's used for what is in vogue. It's used for habits. It says the habits of this world passes away. That means what we'll be celebrating in 2016 will not be the same thing in 2020. That's what he's saying. It's just wisdom not to throw yourself to anything that this world is pursuing. Are you following what I'm saying? Do you understand that? It's just the wisdom of God. He says, that means we'll be careful on how we utilize this world's things. Hallelujah. Because the truth of the matter is that we are not of this world. Say, we are not of this world. We are not. We are not of this world. So, he says, because it is passing, that word passing is the word parago. P-A-R-A-G-O. It means moving. It's just moving. It's moving. It's just moving. Years ago, there are some areas in this Lagos. If all you have, is a square meter of land, you're a big boy. Knowing the lust of men, they now went somewhere near Ikoyi. They now went to San Felix. They now call the so and so island. They are pursued. They're going there. Then again, they said that one has expired. Let's go to another place. No, you are a man of the spirit. You don't run around like that. The vogue is a vogue. Is a vogue. Christians don't run after vogues. We have controlled habits. Hallelujah. The wisdom of God demonstrates or dictates to us that we don't throw ourselves. You know, I tell you, this defeats all this success issue that die empty. Do all it. Reach your limits. Bible actually says do not reach the limit. Hallelujah. Don't reach the limit. Hallelujah. Don't reach the limit. Put a limit on yourself. Say the sky is your limit. That's rapture. Sky is not my limit. Walking in the spirit is my limit. Hallelujah. You cop yourself. You correct yourself. They give you opportunity to tell you, you should do and do this. And there are things some of us just throw ourselves at. They tell you, you know, you have to work on Sunday mornings, you have to go and you say, I'll manage it. I'll be catching church online. Church online. This is how you are going. See how your life is going. Online. You are now online. Is this where do you know you are going? Online. Because I have a device. There's some people who march in the church who just hold their phone. You have a Bible here, don't worry. So, let's be careful. That Hagin used to say this, that anything that belongs to this world is very careful because there's the spirit of this world behind it.
was talking to a younger pastor earlier today. I said, look, it's good to have a good media team in your church, but make sure that what you are putting out is the word of God. I said, behind media and entertainment is deception, exaggeration. Be careful not to follow that pattern. Put out the word, yes. Do everything to put out the word. All these flashing pictures all over the place, trying to look this one. I said, be careful. He's a woke. You must have a limit. Amen. Hallelujah. Must have a limit. Like I said, some of the things that put many of us under pressure is this woke. Just under pressure. Under pressure. Ah! Hey! All your mates are abroad. They are in their abroad. See, so all your head is travel. Even if it's Togo, travel. I just want to leave. None of the people travel become slaves. I just want to go. I must go. So when they give a prophecy, I say, the nation, I receive it. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the year like that, I wanted to leave the country. I didn't want to run away. So I just made sure that I'll be praying in the spirit alone. I didn't want to commit myself in the understanding. So I'll pray in the spirit. You know the way you can make up your mind before you pray. This is what I want to do. I just pray in the spirit. I define myself. My mind was filled with going to the UK. My mind. I saw it. I was seeing it. Without seeing snow before, I saw myself wearing the jacket. I'm there. You know that? See yourself there. Can you see yourself there? Imagine it. The day I decided to say, alright, let me put this in on that. I knew I was in disobedience. My mom thought I was crazy. Ah. Something you wanted to do for shall not do it again. That's all. No. Put a limit. Put a limit. Don't run somebody's race. You don't look at someone's horse and run a race. I always say you become a horse yourself. Don't put your own under pressure. More than what we try to put ourselves under pressure about others, what people are thinking, what would they say, what would this person say, what would they say. So I said, all my mates are getting married, some are dead. Are you not talking about those ones? The ones that died because some are sick. So it depends on where you put your attention. Is it not true? Open your under pressure. Praise God. Just walk in the will of God for your life. Amen. And apply His wisdom. When you begin to feed on God's word, the word of God begins to dominate your emotions. You begin to control how you pursue the things of this world. Because we have to be careful. It's when we are pursuing these things that they begin to introduce sin to us, sinfulness, habits, things that should never have come to us. You begin to have new relationships and things like that. Amen. What did Paul say? If you have an advantage, control it. Are you blessed? Stand to your feet, people. Until next week. Worship God. Thank you.